going back to Scout, behind the flats, there was just one row of garages.
This is the original flat.
Yes, the original block. And behind it was this great triangle of land, and there was a timber scout hut on it. And the entrance faced the back of the flats. And then the council had a bright idea of building more garages, and they asked us if we could change our access from behind the flats to between two houses in Mandeville, isn't it? Well, the turning on the right, up the top. There was a gap, a drive, between the two houses. And we said, well, what are you going to pay us? Well, I can't remember they gave us any cash, but they made all the alterations necessary to the building because it would have put our entrance on the wrong side of the building if we came in the other side. Yeah. So they put it in on the end for us and put a drive in, proper drive with a hardcore and so forth. That made it very good. Made it a little bit further for me to walk.
When was the original building put there, would you think? Was it quite old when you first saw it?
No, well, it was a second-hand building. But a lot of the scout huts in those days were, because the army, well, the services used a lot of these huts, and after the war they were being sold off. Yeah. Also, at that time, and I suppose it was around about the 50s onwards, you could get grants of money from all kinds of different places, local authorities, county councils, and the government. And if you played your cards right, you could actually buy and put up a building next to no cost to yourself. Yeah. And St Albans Scout put up five or six of these, because also with the estate coming here, you see, it was felt that they needed something like scouts. Well, and guides, but guides never went in for providing many of their own headquarters. It was a timber building. The alterations to it didn't do it any good, if you know what I mean. It started wobbling around. But nevertheless, it served our purpose. We had this ground, a bit of a nuisance in a way, because we had to do something with the grass periodically to keep it tidy. Unfortunately, the residents around the outside used to throw their garden rubbish out.
So what was the name of the scout troop?
19th St Albans. But then, typical of many of those earlier scout groups, as times changed, it became difficult to keep them going. One, getting leaders, which is always a problem, still is, I think. You see, it's the old story. You get an estate and most of the people moving in are all around about the same age, you know. Well, nowadays probably 25 to 35, but in those days, 20 to 30. And therefore they all grow up. And I used to say that it was about 50 years before it got any mix. Yeah.
I'd call it the Harlow syndrome.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So it went through a period where all the scouts that I had, they were all young men, and most of them leaving St Albans anyway, to go and live at Flitwick or something like that. The building needed a lot of work done to it, so it was decided to close it down, which it did. I can't remember how long it was. The land was leased from the council. I can't remember what we paid for it, but it was nominal rent, a shilling a year or something. And they reckoned that the lease said the building had to be taken away when they got the land back. Eventually the group managed to get rid of it, and the council took the land back. There's some years, I can't remember exactly how long, how many. It remained empty, and then they suddenly got the bright idea of knocking a hole in the garages, the row of garages, to give them access for a new road, put a new road in, and I think they built some bungalows, aren't they? I've never been up there, only across the end, which I think was probably a very good use of the land.
How many scouts were in the troop when it was at its peak?
Well, at its peak, we had 50.
And they all came from around the estate, did they?
Oh, yes, all within walking distance. All within walking distance.
Yes.
And when we used to go away for a weekend camp somewhere, over to Old Parkbury Farm, we went once, and other places, we used to hire a coach from the old Albanian coach company. Yeah. And he used to drive it, because I had a car and I had three assistant scout leaders. And two of those had a car, that's right, the other one didn't. So we had three cars among the leaders, but that was no good for taking people there. Terrible old coaches they were, they rattled like mad. They were pre-war vehicles, still keeping them going on the road.
Did it start with Cub Scouts and go through the seniors, or was it just...
We had Cubs, we had Scouts and Senior Scouts.
Yeah.
I only dealt with Scouts. Yeah. Later, I gave up a Scout leader over the road because I became a District Scout leader. which meant I, you know, had my finger in the pie of all the groups. And then I became an ADC, and subsequently I became a leader trainer. And as a leader trainer, I got involved in training of... I did a Cub Scout leader training course as part of my training, and I did the national and the international leaders training course, which was very interesting. I did that for 20 years.
When the Scouts were meeting over here, did you do any activities away from the Scout Hut in the area, taking advantage of the open spaces or whatever around, or was it all concentrated within the hut?
During the week, we met once a week, I can't remember the day now. It was principally in the grounds or in the headquarters, but we did camp on the field behind Dobie Cottage, as the field runs from there right up by the side of the river. Mr. Woollett let us camp the other side of Sopwell
House. So you were able to do that sort of thing. They could all walk to where the campsite was as well, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one camp we had up there on the weekend. We went out Friday night in pouring rain. I mean, that distance, it was trek cart stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Show it on a trek cart table. Yeah. Pouring with rain, so the boys put up the tents in pouring rain. Saturday morning, still raining. Saturday evening, still raining, and we sat around the Scout and said, you know, this is an absolute dead loss. I think we ought to go back to the headquarters. They can spend the night in the headquarters. Yeah. Go down, put it to the boys. Oh, no, no, they weren't going to go. They were enjoying themselves, cooped up in tents all day long. But at any rate, we stayed there, and of course, in those days, the shower and the Sopwell Mill area got flooded. Drive through about 18 inches of water. It can get flooded now, can't it?
It's interesting that the local farmers or landowners were quite happy for you to use their ground as well.
Well, that's right. I referred to a greengrocer's shop, and the owner of that shop was our group treasurer. Up at Vester Avenue, there was a furniture shop. Only small. Well, it was bigger of the shops up there, but it was not big as the furniture shops are today.
Yeah.
But you could buy furniture and lino and carpets and things like that. I think it was run by somebody called Oakley. And he was on the committee, helping to run the group. There was a Mrs. Toogood, the mother of a Scout. I'm not sure where she lived, from memory, but she was a very stalwart member, raising an awful lot with bingo. They used to run bingo quite frequently in the Scout Hut for the local residents, and it was all supported by them.
Yes, so it was very much supported by the parents and the local
community. Oh, yes. If we put on a kind of fair one Saturday up in the grounds, and people turned up from the estate. You know, there's no problem in getting support. It was very encouraging, but that was another thing that, in effect, forced the group to close eventually, and did many of them. The parental support just started fading away.
Mm.
But there wasn't the television about, was
no.
there? As soon as television came in, parents had something else to do. And so that tended to restrict the help you could get.